This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number three, Bart Scott. What does that mean?
The Power Hour!
And we want you to be part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number.
What's so funny?
You've been on one today, man. Ever since Get Up. I mean, from Get Up. Well, you have you get Louis Riddick. Louis Riddick, like, he starts out, but not buttoned up. I was going to say he's buttoned up, but he's never buttoned up. What'd you say? You're going to get him a shirt? You're going to get him a custom shirt and no buttons?
Yeah, no buttons. Like, there's no need for any top buttons.
But he starts out like he's trying to show the world that he's like, I'm an executive. Like, I'm polished. I've got intelligent takes. By the end of the show, you have him just completely like, he's back in cleats in the locker room, like post game.
That's my superpower.
Post practice.
That's always been my superpower.
Great, man.
My superpower was bringing people together in the locker room, right? No matter where you were from, what color, race, creed, whatever, I can draw you into my BS. Like, I can use it for good or I can use it for bad.
Is that what you do with me? You draw me into your BS?
Come on into the dark side. I'm Little Penny talking to your ear. Hey, come on, man. You can do it, man. You deserve
really are Little Penny at times. And you know what? In that, and especially on Get Up as well, but in that whole thing, is you aren't afraid to say what you're thinking. You keep it 100, like you always say. And here's one take that really caught everyone's attention, including mine. And in fact, at one point, I think it got even Riddick to sort of say, I kind of agree with you. Mm-hmm. And that is, week five, in all the different games we talk about, that you do strongly feel that Giants-Cowboys at Jerry World, Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern, mm-hmm. And you think the Giants can win the game?
Absolutely. Listen, the Giants are feeling, the Cowboys are feeling themselves. And sometimes they get overconfident. So much so that Dak Prescott's brother tweeted the show.
Tad Prescott.
Yeah, he tweeted the show. But listen, Louis Riddick understood where I was coming from. We talk about styles make fights, right? That's what we always say. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dallas has a great offensive line, right? But if you look at the personnel and the defensive line for the Giants, Leonard Williams had 13 and a half sacks. Now, I know he hasn't played as well as he did last year because he's playing more inside, not outside, as they went out and they got OZs. But, you know, Dexter Lawrence ain't afraid. You ain't moving those two mountain of a men in there, right? Now, I understand that they're missing Blake Martinez, but you talk about matching up on the receivers. Bradbury's a Pro Bowler. I think that's a pretty good matchup against him and Cooper.
This year, he's been victimized a few times.
Yeah, but he's comfortable in this space with him. Like, okay. He knows everything. He's broken down Cooper, right? And then Adoree Jackson is a lockdown corner. So it's a matchup issue where, you know, it's cool. Peppers is a good safety. Logan Ryan is a good safety.
Yes.
So you talk about the tight ends affecting the game. That's a good matchup. And then if it's a close matchup, you look at the way that the offensive line of the Giants played last week, and you look at Saquon Barkley, looks like that leg is getting more trust in it, and you look at what he was able to do in the passing game, right? So what he's been able to do in the passing game and what, you know, you think about Galladay, what he did, Ross stretching the field, Galladay, and Rudolph, and who knows, every once in a while a broken clock is right, so that means Ingram might catch 50% of the ball is thrown his way.
But Saquon's becoming Saquon.
And
we saw that in the last
game.
Playing,
like, everybody talking about how great Dak Prescott's been playing. How about let's talk about who's fifth in the league in passing?
Daniel Jones. And by the way, the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, Daniel Jones.
My point. And he threw for 400. Mm-hmm. And the only interception was a Hail Mary at the end of the half.
Right.
So he's playing clean. So you mean to tell me that if you look at the skill positions, all things being equal, that the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants don't have the equal skill position players? Of course.
Now, here's an interesting stat in this division where the Giants defense is, like we said, we've been talking about these two teams. The Giants defense has allowed the fewest amount of points so far in their division. We talk so much about Dallas's improved defense. They only give up two more points, but the Giants have only given up 95 points. The Cowboys have given up 97. The big difference, of course, is the Cowboys have scored 126 points. The Giants only 83.
Yeah, but what did they score last week?
Right. Well, that's the thing. Are they trending right? Is Saquon kind of finding himself as we knew it might take a couple of weeks for him to find himself? And more importantly, if the Giants win this game, like you predict they're going to, they move to 2-3. No, they're 1-3 right now. Remember, they started 0-3.
Okay.
So they moved to 2-3. Now, with that in mind, is that enough to suddenly flip a narrative about them, which at 0-3 we were thinking, Everybody's getting fired. This is a lost season. Big mistake.
They should have beat Washington.
Of course they should have beaten them. They did beat them. They gave that game away.
Yeah, exactly.
So is that enough in your mind to change the narrative on the Giants, where we almost starting to throw dirt on them, to, well, maybe they can start emerging as a team you got to watch out for?
I picked them to win the division from the beginning.
You did?
And they just disappointed me on how they played. But they started off slow. Every season is a new season. It looks like Jason Garrett is starting to figure out how to use the new chess pieces that he has. When you think about Rudolph, you think about Galladay, you think about now they're starting to get Kadarius Toney involved. They're starting to give him those jet sweeps, so which that makes Danny Dimes a lot more lethal, right? Because now you fake the jet sweep. Danny Dimes is, you know, leading. He's got to be like top five in rushing from quarterbacks, right? They have designed runs. This isn't off-schedule fake runs for him, like, oh, well, I'm scrambling, I decide to run. They have RPOs for him where he keeps the ball and he takes off. Like, we saw the touchdown run that he had, like 50 yards, that was called back.
Just so you know, he leads the team in rushing yards.
So, I mean, Danny Dimes, like, yeah. I said, my breakout player of the year. So, I'm not just – people always think I'm trying to be – and you've been around me long enough. I don't just say stuff to say stuff. I damn sure don't say what people tell me to say. I say what I want to say. Because I'm always going to keep it 100. If I say it, I believe it. Now, it may not be true. It may not happen. But I believe it when I say it. I'm not that type of dude. I don't just say stuff to get clickbait. I can care less. I don't care if you like me or not.
Right. Well, so, again, that's a really interesting game. Again, the 4 o'clock game. This is the first time that we'll have a London game this week, and that is the Jets and the Falcons.
I can be more happy.
9:30 Eastern is your kickoff. Bart Scott is your SNY for that.
I am so happy. Why? So I can go ahead and do that and get home and watch some real football.
And then you don't miss any other games?
Yeah, watch some real football.
That's a good point. Like watching the Jets like I do, and then I'm flipping every time there's a commercial to Red Zone to catch up on what's happening around the league. And then last week is maddening because it's like watching the Jets – and the Giants at the same time, and trying to find a red zone. It was crazy. And then the Yankees were playing their way into – like, it was just a busy Sunday.
Yeah, I want to
miss a good
game. This will
start earlier, but a little brunch with Bart Scott.
I get to watch the four or five games. I'll be all ready, man. I get to see, like, yeah, the kickoff 4 o'clock game. That Cleveland's Chargers.
Yeah, that Cowboys-Giants game is sneaky good. That's a sneaky good game.
They always play each other tough.
Obviously, again, Justin Fields now is officially the starter with the Bears, so you want to keep certainly an eye there. What happens with Jacksonville? I mean, do they get absolutely annihilated by the Titans, or do they show up and give you, all right, well, we learned something – you know, last Thursday, we saw something good. Trevor Lawrence continues to develop, and this Urban Meyer stuff then blows over. Or 0-5, and it just starts to get even worse. So a lot of different storylines. Of course, tonight, Thursday Night Football, and that's a huge game in that division, in the NFC West, between the Rams and the Seahawks. Two quarterbacks that obviously are among the best in the league.
This is a good week, man.
You just love the matchups, right?
It's a good week, man, because it's spaced out right, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because now you get to watch Sunday night between Buffalo and Kansas City.
Yep, I was getting there. AFC Championship preview.
Then you get to check out San Francisco and Arizona. Man, I got to buy the game pass now. Because I'm going to be home, so I need to watch all the games. I need to be able to flip to all of them and see them live. I don't want to catch it on Red Zone.
Right.
I mean, then you get Dallas and the Giants, man. Divisional game, man. This is sweet. And sneaky game that could mess around and go the other way. Cincinnati and Green Bay, man.
As you said that, John literally wrote that on my screen.
Cincinnati is not a walkover. You don't just walk over Cincinnati anymore. That offense is legit. And Joe Burrow, like I said, is like top three quarterback in that division. That puts Baker Mayfield, you know, somewhere in between Ben and the garbage can.
Yeah. Completely agree. And then, of course, you have the baseball playoffs. And last night we had a classic. Dodgers, Cardinals, two classic franchises. They take it to the ninth inning. Just a fun game in many different aspects. If you love baseball, if you just love competition, you love strategy. There's so many different things involving it. Adam Wainwright giving up a home run early on to Justin Turner on a curveball, which that just never happens. And he did. And so there's that dramatic moment. Albert Pujols having the chance to be a hero. Just all the different things. Chris Taylor, who didn't start, didn't play earlier in the game, comes into the game.
Team, they bring an all-star off the damn
hits
bench.
A home run and a walk-off. And that's what we've been talking to you about right now is the walk-off. And just what, you know, the idea of the walk-off in baseball to win a game or even to win a playoff game in a winner-take-all type scenario. Is that the best way to walk off besides a buzzer beater shot or an overtime goal or even a field goal with no time left? Is that the best way to do it? Let's continue with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mel in New Jersey has an interesting one. Go ahead, Mel. Mel?
Man, we can't be having no dead air, man. You're messing up our damn ratings, man.
Yeah, not there. All right, Art's in Pennsylvania. Come on, Art.
Be better, Art.
Oh, the call's not up.
Yo, hello.
Hey, what's going on, Art? How you
hello.
Doing?
Hello. Good. How are you guys?
Good.
My thing was that baseball and hockey are much more spontaneous. Like in football, they're in the red zone. You know, they got a real good chance to score. Hockey, it could happen anytime. Baseball, the home run happens. You never know when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's spontaneous. I mean, I guess you could say the buzzer beater, you have the possession, so you're kind of anticipating something. He's either going to make it or miss it, right? There's an anticipation of it. And in football, if it's a field goal, you sort of just the anticipation of, okay, the snap, the hold, the kick, it's up. Is it good? Is it, you know, is it Scott Norwood? I mean, that is, you have that anticipation of a moment where, as in, I think what you're saying is the pitch, you just don't know, or the swing, and then is it, you know, it's more spontaneous. I feel like, again, the moment happened, it's all spontaneous. But it's the celebration to me. Like the walk-off gives you that extra time. You get your little victory lap, and it lasts a little bit longer. And so that's there's a difference to that versus everything else, which is, as he said, spontaneous, and then everybody just mobs the field, the ice, the court.
I get his point, though. You can know a hit is coming, maybe a hit's coming, maybe a strikeout's coming. You just don't know if it's a home run. It could be a base hit. It could be a double. But to be able to walk it off and get everybody home, just it's a wrap. Don't matter. No throw at the plate.
Right.
You don't know that's coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's right. Right. The bang bang kind of play as well. That's, again, makes it exciting. Spike's in Florida. Hey, Spike.
Hey, guys. Glad to get on. Listen, I got two of them. And Alan, this will be near and dear to your heart. Chris Chambliss, who rounded the bases like a combination of Earl Campbell and Eric Dickerson. Yeah. That is a classic. You just replay that, man. How he fought his way through that. If it'd be fourth and inches, he would have made it. That was as good as it gets for me. And I just thought last night was great, too. I just don't like the format. And, you know, you can't get it right. We're a hoops guy. You know me, Alan. But I'm a hoops guy. I never won through 16. I don't know how to, you justify the Dodgers and the Giants with so many more wins. But I guess there's no perfect way to win it. But just last thing I want to tell you guys, the program is fantastic. I really enjoy it. But I miss you locally, so... Double-edged sword.
We are local.
We are local. Yeah, no,
just
we are.
Call
we're
us,
in,
man.
We're in New York. We're on local, and that's you know that's what we do. But thank you, Spike. It's always great to hear from you. I mean, Bart. I guess when you talk about the idea of a winner take all wild card, you heard Fred McGriff didn't like it. He thought it should be a best of three because it's a series. Like you play 162 to play for a one and out. Is, you know, the argument is it's not really fair.
So the better team will win two.
But it's one thing if you're tied, like in 78, you were tied, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox were tied, you had to play to break the tie.
Yeah.
That's understood because that basically became a game 163.
Gotcha.
In the NBA, we had that with Minnesota and was it Denver, right? I think it was Denver, and they played one more game, game 83, to break the tie and see who moves on. But back in the day, again, Giants, Dodgers, just some reference, because some people are confused by this. When I said this is the first time they'll meet in the playoffs, people are like, what happened in 1951? What about 1962? That was a three-game series, but it was to break a tie to see who gets the pennant to move on and play in the World Series, because back then that's all they had. So even though it was a series, those records count regular season. They were not considered playoff records.
Right.
So technically it was not a playoffs, even though they played a playoff.
But it's crazy. People always trying to come at you, right?
Series.
People always trying to come at
semantics.
You. Well, semantics. Yeah, they always trying to, like, yeah, come on, man.
It's semantics.
Tomato, tomato, man. Like, no. If we say it, it's, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically.
There's no spoon. Like, come on, man. Like, listen.
Greg is in Philly. Come on, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love you guys. Bart, I'm a big Bills fan, but you're the man. Just wanted to say, best way to walk it off. Think back to, like, 08, Tiger Woods. Thinking a 25-footer in a major. Win.
And the fist pump.
That's gotta be tough to beat.
You know what? And what I like about that, Greg, and thank you. Think about that. Because you got the gallery all around you. You got the anticipation of the ball rolling. So
and it's slow too, dude.
Well, of course. And then the crowd, the rise of the crescendo, the fist pump, because the classic Tiger fist pump, and then obviously the celebration after it. That's a pretty good walk off too. That's not bad. I like that. Continuing on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729 3776. Other questions here certainly as well. Anthony is in Tampa. What do you got, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I love the walk-off home run, but I'd have to say a full-court buzzer beater to win it, time expiring, because like it adds the factor of, oh, my God, I can't believe that went in.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you guys. Biggest pressure moment, starting QB in the Super Bowl, starting pitcher in Game 7 of the World Series, or the goalie in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final?
Wow.
I'm going to go with the pitcher because, listen, you got it's easier when you're the quarterback. Like, your team can pick you up, right? I'm going to go with the pitcher because you give up a couple home runs, it could be barbecue chicken real early.
Well, see, I won't go with the pitcher because you're not there in the ninth inning. So while there's pressure on you to get off to a good start, I've seen games. I mean, I've seen World Series games where the one team is down by a lot but then just climbs its way back because the other team's bullpen isn't very good, right? Like, you can have that happen. But I think it's got to be the goaltender because it's just you. Think about, Bart, this one near and dear to my heart. The Islanders and the Lightning played an unbelievable series last spring in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? This is the NHL. Two goalies that were basically playing shutout hockey. They were playing out lights out. Two defenses playing lights out. It was a game seven. One goal was scored. One. And it was like a fluky goal. One goal was scored. Think about that. Like, that's unbelievable pressure. Yeah. One lousy goal was scored.
So you're saying one goal can end it all?
One goal end it all and not giving up a goal. Like, literally being that much of a, you know, with your defense in front of you. I mean, a quarterback has got to be there at the end, too.
I mean, it's an easier job.
Hey, the Giant defense played great, but Eli Manning had to make a throw, or two of them.
Yeah.
And David Tyree and Mario Manningham had to make a catch.
And Plexico Burris.
And then, of course, yes. Plexico Burris. Yeah, no, so that stuff had to happen. But I love this one. Daniel in West Virginia has a great one on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Go ahead, Daniel.
I've seen lots of, you know, Super Bowls and championship games in baseball, and you see walk-off home runs and walk-off field goals. But, when the Patriots beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl with a walk-off interception, I just think that was the biggest way to go out because nobody's seen that coming at all.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah,
I mean, to jump in the route and the best story about that, right? Think about it. All they had to do was hand off the football to Marshawn Lynch, and that game is over.
It still was the right play.
Did you really say that? Thank you, Daniel.
It's hard for me to explain, and I get into it with people, but they had an all-out blitz on, so they had way too many people than they can block. And the problem is that player worked all week, and they had, you know, Malcolm Butler had got beaten on that play all week
in practice.
And what happened?
Belichick got into him about it, and it had made him ready for it.
Well, what happened is he got reminded of it by the other corner, Browner, I think, and Browner quick jammed him, so it couldn't become a natural pick because the receiver never got off the line, which gave him the angle to come underneath. Everything had to be perfect. Like, that pick play is something that Aaron Rodgers does all the time.
Yeah.
And like, what happened is like he quick jammed him. It was a quick jam in the awareness of Browner, who was the corner on the point. Remember, you know, the receiver that was the ball was intended to was off the line. So it was, you go up and I come underneath you, and it's to pick the guy that's got you outside.
So you're not buying the theory that
that
Pete Carroll
that was the right play,
wanted
man.
Russell Wilson.
No, that's the right
to get
play.
The MVP.
Listen, when you look at the defense, that's the right play. That's the right play to check to. They got an all-out blitz, meaning that they got a gapped-out scheme. And they got man-to-man, no help, cover zero behind, and it's a legal pick play. We see how many teams that we saw got beat with illegal pick plays early in the season this year because teams are coming on all-out blitz and they do some type of rub route and a guy hits it. We just saw it with Lamar Jackson, man.
Right.
We saw Humphreys with the over route on Monday Night Football with Carr. He just backed up on the cover zero blitz. He got rubbed and Humphreys fell behind. He just threw it up and Zay Jones scores an easy walk-in touchdown. It was the same defense, same play.
It wasn't on the goal line.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they got when you got a cover zero blitz, everybody's in every gap. Somebody's Scott ass free. You can't block them. You got six. They got eight. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
They got eight. So you're saying beast mode.
I've never heard anyone say it any other way. You're saying something that so many other people I've talked to all feel like it was just the wrong play call because Marshawn Lynch was beast mode at the time, and that all you had to do was hand it off and push through, and you're in.
Because what they were saying
is you're telling me that was not the play that would have gotten stuffed.
Remember the play that happened before. Marshawn got hit in the backfield. He was still spinning, made like three, four guys miss.
Yep.
He just got back to the line of scrimmage. So they had the same play where it's going to be a free runner, and all they got to do is wrap Marshawn up in the backfield, and then the time is continuing to run out.
Right, right. Game's
now
over.
This one, you just throw a legal pick, and if the ball is dropped, the ball is dropped. That play almost never, 99 out of 100 times, the last thing that's ever going to happen is that gets picked. Remember, he got bumped. He really was almost there too early, but they let it go to cut off the guy. If Russell Wilson throws the ball a little bit more in front,
right.
It and was the guy flies out more. Everything had to be
that's
pitch
true.
Perfect.
That part is true. His timing, all of it, him reading it, him seeing
the
it.
Quick
just,
jam on the ball receiver. Everything had to be perfect.
It was just an amazing play. And I'm really surprised because, again, that's a walk-off defense play. That's really what that is.
Yeah.
That is a end-the-game-right-here defensive play that you bring up. But it's interesting. I've never heard anyone bring it up that way.
Nobody's ever talked about it being just a cover zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's cover zero.
No, it just looked like
you blitzing seven. They got five.
You didn't want Marshawn Lynch to get that touchdown. You wanted Russell Wilson to get it. That's what everybody who I've ever talked to about that game, they all have said the same thing.
I know Marcus Robinson, but he's in his feelings too, man. Like, listen, I know, like from a strategic standpoint, that was the right call. You go there with two plays.
All right.
If they have safety behind, then you run the ball because that means they lighten the box. If they got an all-out zero blitz, gapped-out scheme, everybody lined up in the gaps, so that means you have to block down, block down, block down, and eventually somebody's free. And if somebody squirts through, now you got two free. We got beat like that. Remember the whole thing with Tebow on Thursday Night Football? And Eric Smith came scot-ass free off the edge, and Tebow saw him, and he rolled out, right? You can't stop it. Like everybody's like at the line of scrimmage. Only way to stop it is to get around it.
All right. Well, Doug Kazarian is going to join us from Daily Wager in the next segment. He's going to let us know if Bart Scott's pick of the Giants over the Cowboys is a good one. It's Bart and Hahn brought to you by Goodyear. With every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear, more driven. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
The biggest season ever.
The system is garbage. I've never liked it.
The very latest news, analysis, and plenty of opinions.
It puts up a lot of points. It wins nothing.
And it starts weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Whoopsies. Were we live?
We were live.
We're doing it live.
Yes, we are. Definitely.
Yeah, people are attacking me, man. They're attacking me.
Right.
So Cleveland's attacking me.
Bart's reading DMs that he's getting from angry people.
Yeah. Why they DM me, though? Like, why you come to me?
What are you going to put in your, you're not going to read your own comments, right? You don't go into your comments, so you'll probably go to your DMs. And first of all,
I have somebody that runs my stuff, so you're arguing with my assistant anyway. But every once in a while, I dip in.
It comes your way.
Yeah. So they're like, right, Bert, yeah.
Let's go to the Goodyear Hotline where Doug Kazarian joins us right now, host of the Daily Wager, as he does each week. Doug, how you doing? Do you have haters like Bart Scott does? Do people come after you as well?
Come on, guys. What do you think? If you're 57%, you're a millionaire. So just imagine what the vitriol is for anyone who catches a loser here and there and blames you. And I always stress, even when we're on a hot streak, I'm like, look, we are having a conversation. What we are betting. I tell people what I'm doing. You can follow. You can fade. You can do whatever the heck you want. Don't blame me. You're in charge of your own wagers.
Right. That's you say that, but then they're like, you call yourself an expert. Like, we get this every day.
So painful.
Absolutely it is. But you know what? I want to ask you before we get into the football stuff, the World Series this year now, as it's setting up, we have our teams now in both division series set up, and there are a lot of big money, big market type teams, including the series we get in the NLDS now after last night. the Dodgers and the Giants. Is there a value play here in these teams? Are the Rays that sneaky favorite that maybe not a lot of people want to believe in, but they're so good? What's your value here?
You know, it's so interesting just from a macro standpoint, because you had the Dodgers were the favorites, even though they were in that single elimination game. They're just such prohibitive favorites. And on top of that, Kershaw's out, and then Muncy, we're not sure when he can return with that injured elbow. So they survived yesterday. Great performance by both starting pitchers. Scherzer wasn't, you know, sharp per se, but by his standards, but he did get the job done enough, and the bullpen certainly carried the way. So Dodgers are 3-1. I do like them at 3-1. I just think they're overwhelmingly awesome. They have so much flexibility with their lineup. And the way the odds are skewed right now, because a lot of books out here are extremely liable on the Giants. So remember, the Giants entered the season as 100-1 long shots, 40-1 to win the division, which they did. They're just the second team since the mid-90s to finish over 30 games over their regular season win total. Theirs was only 74.5. They win 107. So a lot of the futures market is kind of slanted to protect themselves. So they're inviting money on the Dodgers and other teams because they have seven-figure liability on the Giants. So they're trying to kind of manage the risk, right, their exposure. So when you can get the Dodgers, I think at 3-1, I have no issue with that if someone wants to fire on that. Now, to your point, the Rays are 550. I would need a little more. I think the Red Sox are live. You had four teams with at least 90 wins in the division. I think the Braves are live. I think they get by the Brewers, although the Brewers are favored in game one with Corbin Burns in a five-game series. That's significant. But ultimately, I think the Braves at 12-1, like the longest of all the long shots, is the value play for me if I was to not do the Dodgers.
Okay, I like that. Now, I want Bart Scott to tell you something that he said on Get Up This Morning, if you didn't see it, that caught everybody's attention and now, of course, has a lot of people in Dallas mad at him. But I find it really interesting. So, Bart, tell him your prediction for one of the games on Sunday.
Well, I just believe that the G-men are going to go into Jerry's World and take care of business. I think they match up very well with them. Traditionally, the Giants have played well in Jerry's World, and I think Saquon Barkley is playing well, and he's getting more confidence in his knee, and it's not what he does running the ball. I love what he's doing in the passing game as Danny Dimes is throwing for 400 yards, and he's played relatively a clean game. And I love what they're doing with Kadarius Toney and giving him speed sweeps and giving him opportunities to get the ball in his hands.
So Bart is predicting Giants over the Cowboys this weekend. Do you like that as a money line wager?
I don't fault him at all. Look, I think those people in those eliminator pools, I think things you want to avoid are like road teams and then also division opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And while we've had new head coaches the last couple years for these teams, there is some familiarity. Obviously, Kellen Moore has been a constant for the offense. But, we made such a hoopla of Tom Brady back in Foxborough. What about Jason Garrett back in Dallas?
Yeah.
Huh? Big revenge game.
Yeah.
But I agree with Bart. Obviously, he sees things that I don't, having played the game. But to his point, the weapons are starting to come into fruition, if you will. Daniel Jones looks much more and more comfortable just throwing to his options. Like Galladay had a big catch in overtime, I believe, or in regulation to get the game tied. And I'm not sold on this Cowboys defensive resurgence. It's obviously better than it was last year. I think this game really comes down to like one turnover. I think like Cowboys are up four. And Giants are going to take the lead or turn the ball over. I think it's one of those. It's going to be like a very close game. I know there's some sharp money on the +7, and that would be +7 would be the only way I would play it.
And I like the matchup. I like Bradberry against Cooper because he has familiarity with him. Hell, he went to the Pro Bowl going against Cooper last year. And I like Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson matches up well with whoever's going to be the number two. It's going to be CeeDee Lamb. I like that matchup. And I like the versatility of the safeties for the Giants. It's just styles make fights. So you talk about Logan Ryan and him being able to match up against the tight end. And Peppers is a versatile safety as well. So I just think they have the right type of personnel and they're built the right way to give problems to the Dallas Cowboys, which makes their defense actually have to play football, not just playing from a position of power because they have the lead.
Yeah, no, I think the line, there's a little bit of a tax on the Cowboys. They're the only team undefeated against the spread, 4-0 this year, and this line probably should be 5.5 or 6. Like 7, a key number, we talk about it all the time. 3 is the most common margin of victory in the NFL since the extra point moved back the distance. The second most common margin of victory is 7. So 7's a key number here. I think you're paying a tax if you want to lay the points with Dallas. I think the Giants, for me, it's Giants are pass. And I love what you mentioned, the matchup. I said the Giants were the most one of the more underrated teams entering the season last year. They played much better in the back half. They had the 12th overall toughest schedule over, you know, just according to FPI. So that fact that they were getting Barkley back, and to your point, I think he does look healthier and trust his knee a lot more now. We saw the kind of explosive plays last week. But I think the Giants' offense is coming into its own, and I think the defense is pretty underrated.
All right, Doug Kazarian, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline from Daily Wager. Give us your best bets this weekend.
So I have a few of them, and I like a lot of dogs. It starts with Miami. That line is just way too high for a Bucs secondary that is just beat up. Now, I know that Jacoby Brissett has looked inept and limited, but he should be fine against this. 10 points is just way too much for a Bucs team, a little bit of a flat spot off the big win in New England. I think 10 is way too many points for Miami coaching staff and everything. That's just very solid, and a defense that should be better. Now, the O-line isn't so good, but they'll figure some things out. I think they can muck it up and keep this within 10. I am going to lay the big number with the Patriots. I think the Houston team is pathetic, and without Tyrod Taylor, they're inept on offense. And a Belichick, Belichick's like the perfect coach to go against the Texans. You see these surprise like performance, you know, these, you see these upsets, right? Like the Bengals almost lost to the Jaguars. Jags looked so much sharper in the first half on that Thursday night game because the Bengals looked past their opponent off the big win against Pittsburgh. I don't think Belichick's like teams do that. I think they're robotic and they're going to be a machine. And even in their limited offense, they should cover the 9.5 here. So I do like that. And I like the Bills to score points. I don't trust them necessarily plus 2.5 at Kansas City, but I think we see some offense. This Chiefs defense in the past, they just needed them to be kind of like average because that offense was so potent. But this is like one of the worst statistically in the NFL. And I'll take the Bills, just a team total, just their points. They're over under 27.5. I'll take over. I think Josh Allen's going to let it rip. I think it's a good situation here for Buffalo on the road.
Love it. That's good stuff. I'll tell you what, Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback, it's always ugly for the rookie quarterback. Doug, great stuff as always. Good to talk to you.
You got it, fellas. Thanks so much.
All right, Doug Kazarian again from the Daily Wager, giving you the latest and what he sees this weekend. And he believes in you, Bart Scott. He agrees with you on the Giants.
People in Cleveland don't believe in me.
And Dallas, pretty yes. Upset. Everybody in Cleveland mad at you. And everybody in New York mad at the Yankees for being that one hope that just once again goes out with a whimper. So as we preview Giants-Dodgers, two marquee teams head-to-head in the NLDS, it makes you wonder just how far away the Yankees are from contending. We will discuss that. Of course, your calls as well as 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Whether on your radio, on your phone, or your smart speaker.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
I don't like when coaches can't figure it out and they always use a player as a scapegoat.
Wake up with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80 as well, Bart Scott. I know you know that. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So I need you to hear something from the great Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees and also the voice of The Michael Kay Show that you can hear in New York on 98.7 ESPN.
What does that come on?
In New York, it comes on right after we're done.
Next!
Yes! That's what happened. So, we heard Aaron Boone say the gap is closing, right? That teams are closing the gap on us, which we kind of laugh because it's like, what gap? That you've been chasing. You haven't won anything in 12 years. Michael Kay, with his take on the fact the teams aren't catching the Yankees, the Yankees are trying to catch them.
The rest of the league's not catching up with them. They're kind of dropping back. And, you know, they have to be concerned. Tampa Bay's not going anywhere. They're a brilliant organization. The Red Sox, this was supposed to be a reload year for them. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs. And they beat the Yankees in the wild card, so they're only going to get better when they start spending money again. And I don't think there was any team in baseball that wanted to face the Toronto Blue Jays in the postseason. So they're on the come as well. The Yankees better step it up this offseason, or they might not make the playoffs next year.
Waiting to hear from the Yankees and what the plan's going to be going forward. But, you know, firing everybody, which is always that, you know, that Steinbrennian type of thing where we all get that pound of flesh that we all need when a team is disappointing. And let's not make any mistake about it. The Yankees were disappointing this year. And, yes, a team that wins over 90 games can be disappointing. It can.
Expectations.
Yes, you are the one who set that. Right. That set that tone of winning a championship, and the wait continues. But maybe a change in plan, like we talked about yesterday, Bart, that a change in strategy of understanding that this might not be – this math might not work. We need new math.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's something they have to have a deep discussion about and then to rethink the way they want to build the roster and play next season. It's going to be a long offseason for the Yankees, a long offseason. Yeah. And if there is a work stoppage, as some people are talking about, you need to get to work pretty quickly. So both teams in New York now suddenly with a huge offseason to keep an eye on. I mean – it's the most frustrating thing about it, because it's one thing when you're rebuilding. The Jets are rebuilding, right? Like you know what they're dealing with, right? There's certain teams where you understand it. But a team with the standards of the Yankees where they're not rebuilding, when you fall short like that, it does really leave more frustration than understanding. A lot of times a rebuilding team, you're like, all right, well, they're getting there. They got mistakes. No, this is, hey, how many years are we going to keep hearing the same excuses?
Yeah.
You got to make some kind of change.
When you think about it, right, their equation has been power plus pitching equals success. And that's great in the regular season. Like I said, you like to compare them to the Dallas Cowboys. I like to compare them to the Houston Rockets, the D'Antonis, right?
Yeesh.
How they're built is always great in the regular
season.
Win,
yeah.
You win all those games, right? And it's great. But when the cream rises to the top, are you built to go through the gauntlet of teams that have great pitchers but also have equal talent on the opposite side in the dugout? And that just hasn't been the case for them. They always run into that bump in the road where just their pitchers a little bit better than theirs and their bats go silent because now they can't move pitchers on. You talk about runners in scoring position. They can't get the runs in, right? Guys get on base. They can't, you know, move guys over. They don't have the athletes to be able to run the bases, right? We talk about Trey Turner all the time, right? You know, they don't have any players like that. I mean, Brett Gardner was that for them a long time ago. You have to find your athletes that can turn a single that would normally be a single to a double or maybe a triple to get guys closer to home so that you can get them in.
Yeah, it is, again, off-season for them to watch, of course, but right now what you have to watch is the other brand-name teams and watch in horror if the Rays or the Astros, God forbid the Red Sox, end up going to the World Series, and then what's going to happen at that point. I mean, I almost feel like
pressure.
I'm rooting for the White Sox because of all the teams in the American
League,
I could care less about what they're doing. Like, honestly, I could care less about what they're doing.
They've been one of the best teams.
And they've been really
good.
Nobody
would talk about it.
Tony La Russa and all the controversy from early in the season, that's all gone. But I'm serious. Like, as a Yankees fan, if you're asking me, well, because I'm watching, who would you rather see? Yeah, I want the White Sox because I really don't care what they're doing. But if the Astros get there, I'm going to throw up. If the Rays get there, that's maddening. And then, of course, if the Red Sox get there, the hell with that.
Houston fans will be unbearable if they win the championship. They'll be like, ha, ha, ha.
I might have to just completely log off Twitter.
They're probably going to have floats during the parade that's made out of garbage cans. And they're going to be banging them as they go down the parade.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? And then you just
Dusty Baker looking like Uncle Ben.
All right, Bart Scott, see you tomorrow.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.